Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Of course, the exciting news is that, Tim, you've still got your audio file, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's here. It's here.
So, I mean, the option is always there to just release. That would be a very funny listen, because you would sound truly insane, because it would sound like you're imagining recording a podcast with someone.
Cutting in and out right now, so that's good. That's promising. Anywho, yeah, you're in and out, but let me kick this thing off, eh? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Worst Idea of All Time, episode 43. If I'm not much mistaken, my name is Tim Batt. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. A joyful Kwanzaa, a salubrious Hanukkah, and whatever festival the Satanists celebrate. I want to say happy holidays to you also. Yeah, absolutely. Now, what you may notice in this episode, if I may just butt in right away, Guy Montgomery, is that the audio is going to sound a little weird. And the reason for that is because I have watched the movie by myself over a course of a lot of beers in Auckland. And Guy? Paint us a picture, Guy. Tell us what the surroundings are and what your experience was. I'd love it if you would, for all of our listeners who aren't in the Marlborough Sounds right now, which I believe is all of them. I hear you, buddy. I hear you, and I couldn't agree more. Right. It's interesting because I know that this is a ridiculous time in the project to kind of engage with this thought process, but I just don't fucking want to watch it anymore, to be honest with you. To be 100% frank, I never want to see this movie again. is causing me pain every time I see it now. I don't want to watch it ever again. I don't want to hear it mentioned ever again. And I'll tell you what, we actually, on that note, really missed a trick last night, because apparently in New Zealand, Grown Ups 1 was playing on a free-to-air channel, and Grown Ups 2, I believe, may have been playing at the exact same time on a prescription pay-per-view thing on Sky Movies. Hmm. Oh, yes.
I don't know what it was. Three things I did is I went for a fresh water swim.
Mm-hmm.
I drank Monty's original Pilsner.
Mm.
And I ate about sort of 250 grams of almonds. And one of these things sort of saw me breaking out in a rash. I was quite hyped.
Jesus. Okay.
And it was really itchy. I was driving as well. I was really uncomfortable.
Mm.
It lasted for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Right. Oh, buddy. Right. I think so. Yeah. I see what you're getting at. I thought you were going in a slightly different direction with that, to be honest, because I thought what you were going to say is it worth watching it for 52 weeks for getting to the end of it and going, guess what? We never have to watch the fucking movie again. We're free. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I mean, in the 5 or 6 days, it's not quite the same, because it would be, to use your analogy, akin to going, in a week I know this rash is coming back. So it's always there. It's a dark cloud. It's on the horizon. Yeah, but you know it's coming. There's something. Guy, do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to, that's a lie. I wouldn't love to, but I think it's appropriate to talk about the movie, because this is a podcast about Grown Ups 2. This is a podcast about two men watching Grown Ups 2 too many times. This is a podcast about Guy, Alexander, Halifax, Montgomery, and Timothy Andrew Batt witnessing Grown Ups 2, the worst Adam Sandler film ever made, once a week for a year. The only one I haven't seen is Punch Drunk Love, and I heard it's really good. I'm pretty sure I've seen every other film. Oh, fucking good point. I don't know how to spell that, though. Is that P-U-R-I-T-I-A-N? Puritan? Okay, cool. Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear how that fits in, because I want to hear myself proved right.
I know that it's sort of a cartoonish film, and that, I mean, a lot of the action you sort of give realistic margin of error in terms of physics, or, you know, just whatever might be humanly possible.
Sure.
But Braden Higgins is running rampant.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
So your theory is that even within the physical realm of Grown Ups 2, he's a warlock. Like, not even if you apply the outside universe that we live in, but within their universe. I completely agree. Well, I tell you what, I'd never put together the timeline to do with the van and the teddy bear, but you're dead right on that. I had certainly had fed into my theory the amount of destruction he's able to exact on the frat house in such a short amount of time. And the fact that he appears to return to the water in a way where I would return to my house. So I feel like he is a water warlock, where he lives underwater like Poseidon. I'm gonna be in and out a little bit, guy. I've had about five beers, so in a pretty short amount of time. What I was attempting to do, quite selflessly, I might add, is redraw up some drinking rules, because I feel terrible that the first episode where we attempted a drinking game, which was a long time ago now, I lost the rules. I took a photo of it. I distinctly remember taking a photo of the page with all the scribbling somewhere, but that file, I don't know where it is. It's gold. It's priceless. But I have tried to recreate the drinking rules because I think it might be a fun idea to have that ready kind of for the new year a little bit. So we're recording this on Christmas Eve, which is all the more depressing that I'm watching Grown Ups 2 for the 42nd time by myself in my house on Christmas Eve. But that means in a week it'll still be slightly before New Year's. So maybe we can get an episode out with the drinking rules, because, you know, 'tis the season to do silly things. And people can enjoy that, and people can use the rules at their own discretion a little bit. You know what I'm saying, G? Oh, guy, I can't even hear you now. I hope your internet hasn't dropped off, but I feel like I can hear the birds in the background, and I don't know if they're my birds or your birds. Guy, oh God. All right, I'm gonna run with this thing by myself until I hear back from Guy. Oh no, Guy's coming back through on the old Skype machine. Guy Montgomery. Hello? I think I just hung up on him. We're having a massive blowout now. In the meanwhile, on this drinking game, it's very important, folks, that in the next episode that comes out, you've got to keep tweeting me to remind me to put the drinking rules up. Because if you don't have them, then you can't play the drinking game. And if you can't play the drinking game, then what's the fucking point in any of this? Do you know what I mean? And I know that New Zealanders have a terrible culture of drinking. I understand that. Oh, I'm getting a phone call. It's from Guy. Hey, Guy, you're on speakerphone. This is turning into a nightmare, a travesty.
Have you taken off speakerphone? We just had this conversation on the phone. I'm still talking to my computer, Mike. I believe the last thing you said was that we were recording this on Christmas.
I'm not taking off speakerphone. I'm not stopping recording. Give me another call on Skype, because I admit I fucked you when you rang just earlier. I hung up on you by mistake. Just give me a ring on Skype.
Okay.
All right. This is all good stuff, folks. You're getting the live experience of what it's like to, I don't know, try and put together a podcast when you're on different islands in New Zealand, in Aotearoa, land of the long white cloud. After a few beers, it's a technical, logistical nightmare. Why can't I hear Guy? That's the real question. Oh, God. I'll tell you something for free. Guy Montgomery's profile picture on Skype is terrifying. It's him in a hoodie, clean shaven. I'm not used to him without the microphone. And he's just kind of screaming, "Hey man, how's it going?" Yeah, you're sounding quite metallic there, mate. Oh, who knows, mate? There's only one way to find out. Put it all up, unedited. Put it all up. Such is the spirit. Yeah. Oh, you're telling me. Well, we'll all find out together at the same time. Guy Montgomery, I think it's... No, I'm going to stop you there. I don't even care what you have to say. I've had enough beers that I'm going to overrule you. And I'm going to say that you need to bring in a pretty mean theme song to take us to a particular party place. Take it away, Guy Montgomery. How do you combine those two words? No. Jet ski and machete. Machetski, there you go. Thank you. I was trying to do it in my head and I could not bring them together, but I knew that there was a way to do it. Machetski. Cripes. What a time we live in. Now, I've actually got a party Schwarzenegger time, if you'll indulge me. I wrote it down because I've already forgotten it. I wrote some notes this time, Guy. I wrote a couple notes down. Oh, wait. No kidding, bro. In New Zealand time, it's even earlier than I thought. It is 10:33 in the morning. I've had far too many beers. Okay. So just before, I'm gravitating towards this because of the amount of beers I've had, but just before Paddy gets handed his beer at the quarry, there's a look on his face where he's obviously been given the direction by Dennis Dugan, the director, to look fierce. And fuck me, does he bring the noise on his face with that. He looks intense. He looks fierce. Fierce, Guy Montgomery. So, it's like if you could bring your mouth back into a snarl, you bring your right side of your mouth south as possible. Your eyes, you narrow and you focus. Your nose stays relatively the same because it's quite hard to articulate your nose when you're doing facial expressions. Probably does a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. So he's... Yeah. No, it's angrier than that. I know the face you're talking about, but it's not. It's everything. When you're in drama school, and I only know this from mates who went to drama school. I didn't go to drama school because I don't do drama. But you do this thing called big face, little face. And big face is when you basically you widen your eyes as large as possible, and your mouth. And your whole face, everything just goes as big and as open as possible. And then you immediately have to go to little face, where you scrunch up your face and your mouth goes as small as possible. And you squint your eyes and you bring everything towards the middle, towards your nose, as much as you can. And it's like he's gone little face and pissed off. And it's only on screen for about, I would say, a second and a half, 3 seconds max. But Paddy looks fierce. Fucking fierce. Somewhere in the middle of that conversation, Guy Montgomery came off Skype, but he rang me again, and he's back. Yeah, don't worry, though, because the podcast listeners heard what I had to say, so don't you worry about it. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun for the listeners. We've moved so far forward of that, which is why I'm going to take us to our next segment, if you don't mind, Monty. Oh, okay, okay. Chip right in, brother. Hey, wait a minute. Can I just say something? Can you make this really long? Because I'm going to mute the microphone and take some really long corded headphones into the bathroom and take a leak while you're explaining this. So I'm going to let you run, and I'm going to take a leak. So let's hear it, Guy. What's the what does Falonka mean? What does Falonka translate to? Guy, this seems like the perfect time to remind everyone that our relationship started far before this podcast. It actually started at a TV station that doesn't exist anymore called TVNZU, which in New Zealand was a youth-targeted, government-paid-for station that ran on the whiff of an oily rag, where you used to present a daily show with Tim Lamborn. Well, yeah, it was on every day, though, is what I'm trying to say. And I had a regular weekly segment called... Well, it was on every day, but it was on every day, so... It was on at night time every day of the week, yeah. You bent. I made you bend. I'm so proud of myself. It was. I don't want to... It was your show, mate. You call it what you like. Yeah. Yeah, but you wouldn't describe it as a nightly show. You don't. You know what? It doesn't fucking matter. The point is that I had a regular weekly segment on there where I would review toilets. A segment which you derided every week. You thought it wasn't important. You thought I wasn't important. You thought I wasn't very good. But the point was, I came every week and brought the noise and reviewed a different toilet around New Zealand.
It's a different conversation. You were reviewing public toilets. I'm trying to open up a discussion about toilet and phone etiquette.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to couch whatever opinion I give and the expertise that I bring to my opinion, to my viewpoint. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just some Johnny on the spot. I'm not some vox pop that you got off the street asking about toilet etiquette. I'm a full-blown expert with expertise and experience in this area. I've got many years-ish behind me in toilet-related, you know, research. So what I would say is don't make calls on the toilet, like, regardless of the situation. Unless you've got a very special relationship with someone, it has to be quite a unique one. But the rule of thumb is, you just, it does, number ones, number twos, doesn't matter. You don't want to be talking to people while you're doing that stuff. It's a podcast, mates. The rules are different. Well, now we're going to have to explain why Sargon Pompeii would come up on my phone when you ring me. That's what Guy is in my phone. He's in my phone as Sargon Pompeii. I am Swithin Carlemagne, and he is Sargon Pompeii. None of this is related to Grown Ups 2. All right. Well, look. Can I get us back on track? And I'll just take an interesting sort of way to get there, if I may. Would you allow me to do that? Let me grab the map.
Yep. Bum 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 bum. Roll up for the mystery tour. Roll up, it's an inspiration. Roll up for the mystery tour.
The Steve Buscemi respiratory tour is coming to take me away. Coming to take me away. Take me today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Guy Montgomery, this is a section of the show where we grab the clues that we have gained from Grown Ups 1 and try to guess what has happened to Steve Buscemi's character in the first Grown Ups movie, which neither of us have seen. Our clues are, he has had for the last 2 years his hands upright in a touchdown position and 40% feeling in his body. I have a suggestion. You may have one too. You were taking notes. I'd like to start. And my suggestion is a simple one. Steve Buscemi's character in the first movie was a downhill boxcar racer. The old school soapbox racers that you used to see made on American TV shows and movies with a son and father. And you'd race them downhill. Probably gone now because we've all gotten a little bit safe and a little bit risk averse. But they were a wonderful thing back in the day. They used to go very fast. And they were just basically planks of wood you'd chuck together, chuck a bit of wood on there, chuck a bloody steering wheel in the mix, and race them with the other kids in the neighborhood. And I've got a feeling that Steve Buscemi, in an attempt to impress his kid, made an amazing boxcar racer, took it for a test drive, and really fucked himself. Really fucked himself up, which lends to his character's, or the irony rather, of his character going on to become a grader for car when you're getting your license. That's it. The ocean. I think he, Yeah. You know that street that's in Dunedin that's like the world's steepest street? Is it Hill Street? I can't remember what it's called. But it's very steep, and at the end of it is water. In my head, it looked like that. Like, he just went fucking hell for leather. And in my head, it also happened in San Francisco. I'm not sure why. But he headed right downhill, too fast, brakes didn't work, and boom, he ends up in the ocean, and I don't know, a stingray got him. A stingray got him. Yeah, me too. Absolutely. That's what I heard. And they'll bite you. They'll bite you right in the ass. Nor I, mate. Yeah. Oh, shining light, I forgot. Yeah, go on.
Oh, great. We're cutting out again.
Oh no, just keep going. I can hear you. We're running out of time. Oh. Just keep going, I can hear you, guy.
Okay, well, my shining light this week was actually, I don't know a lot about stingrays or cheerleading, but when Donna is cheerleading for Keithy, when he's figuring out how great he is at kicking the football, she spells out, I've never noticed before, she actually spells out Keithy with her body, and she does a great job. I was particularly impressed by the H. You know how you do an H when you're cheerleading, Tim?
No, how? I respect you for picking it up, bro. I've never noticed that in the 43 times I've seen Grown Ups 2 now. So congratulations to you. Fuck me. I've got to be honest with you. Nothing really stuck out as a shining light, and I forgot to try and grab something along the way that was positive. Oh, do you know what? Okay, here's a fucking shining light for you. You know when Adam Sandler says to Selma Hayek when she posited that they have a kid in the car in the driveway, and he says, "It's the first time I haven't had a job since I was 16 years old. I'm just enjoying the fun." For me, that was a shining light because I felt like there was another almost breaking the fourth wall situation where Adam Sandler is announcing to us the film. He's saying he's worked really hard on all of his movies, like Little Nicky, The Waterboy, Happy Madison, Happy Gilmore, all of them, right? And he's just saying, on this one, on Grown Ups 2, I'm just enjoying the fun. So it's kind of like, can you guys lay off? And it's like a message that was left for us, bro. And I don't know if it's just because I've had too many beers and I'm looking too deep into this, but I have a feeling that he was telling the movie-going audience, I'm just enjoying the fun. That was the whole point of the shoot. And he made a lot of money from it, but that was by the by. He was just hanging out with his mates, tacked on a movie script to it, invited some people to shoot it and record sound and do some good lighting. And we're being real dicks by overanalyzing it. No, wait, I got one more point to make, and it's kind of meaningless. But I can't get past the fact that Nick Swartzen announces, basically the first moment he's on screen, that he anally inserted a banana at his parent-in-law's. Like, that's fucking next level, bro. It's not right, and it's not the right tone for this movie. Yeah, that's a good... Well, that's him. Let's be honest. There's no script in this movie. That's all him. Guy, I would like to announce before that we depart for the podcast that hopefully in the next one we can look forward to the drinking game rules being posted up and both myself and Sargon Pompey engaging in said drinking game. I would also like to announce that the LA trip is looking ever the more possible and happening. So it looks like for the 52nd episode, the final episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, we'll probably be doing that in LA. Hopefully more details to come in the next step. Yeah, and more importantly, live every moment.
Love every day.
Bye, guy.
Love every day.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.